Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and stolen homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples.
You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree/cjsfradio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Welcome, everybody. This is Slumber Party, and I'm DJ Coco.
And I'm DJ Star. Thank you for tuning in tonight. We do have a political topic coming up. Initially, it was just going to be about the TikTok ban, but then...
kind of branching out a little bit.
We're branching out. I was looking at the TikTok ban, like the updates on that yesterday, and then I saw a bunch of other updates that I wish I did not see, but now we have no other option but to talk about them because they are so crazy and extreme. So we'll, you know, we'll talk about that too, but...
We'll probably start off with the music, as usual. So this first one is DJ Star's pick. It is called Good Luck With Your Secret by La Luz, and it's from their album News of the Universe. So, take a listen.
Please enjoy.
Inside. sapura cósmica.
dad of two young girls. It was a game changer when we learned that $10 a day childcare was being offered to both our kids. And we want all BC families to have this option. To get there, BC has to do three key things. Pay fair and consistent wages for all childcare educators. Transition all existing programs to $10 a day. And plan childcare expansion more like we do schools and hospitals. BC's on the right track, but we need to go faster. Go to 10aday.ca to learn more.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm DJ Star.
And I'm DJ Coco.
And this is Slumber Party. There, we just played a ton of songs because
we got a little distracted.
Got distracted and bought some merch online. That was really fun.
Amazing. I'm still on the adrenaline rush of using my money.
For such an item that is so cute.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, should we tell?
Should we tell
what the item was?
The item? Well, there is this artist coming to, well, who lives in Vancouver, performs in Vancouver. Her name is Cherry Pick.
Mm-hmm.
We're just looking up some of her information.
We were looking for her next show.
Her next show, yep.
And then we went onto her website.
And then we found out she had a website, and she actually has some merch. And this shirt, it's like the Beatle t-shirt, and it's this white graphic tee, but it has like this little embroidered Cherry Pick logo with this amazing handcrafted drawing of this beetle. So beautiful. So gorgeous. Instantly bought it.
I think we
thought about it for about 10 minutes.
As soon as I saw the shirt, I was like, I'm getting it immediately.
So that was $20 each. But I find
worth it.
Worth it. No tax, no tip, no shipping. I'm going to go pick it up in my hometown because that's where it's shipping, or that's where I can pick up. So amazing. But anyways.
We're happy right now.
We are so happy. But just in bliss.
Yeah. Because of that, we just did a whole barrage of songs.
Yeah. Which
so
we'll try to introduce.
We'll try to go through what those were. The last song you heard was Sacrifice by ERU. And before that, we also played a song by ERU, which was Nagare. I think they're a Japanese group, and they do really nice, kind of blissful, psychedelic jazz. I really like them. And then before that, that's a good question. Oh.
Yes. We also played some Tara Lilly. Did we play both songs?
We played both songs.
Okay. So, Tara Lilly, just found her on our platform that we use to find music for the radio station. And she is, honestly, she's so cool. First of all, she is a British Bengali musician. She's very inspired because her mom was in a punk band, but her dad played Bengali folk music. So they met up. They had Tara Lilly. And so you probably heard a little bit. She specializes in like electronica, jazz, but then she incorporates some of her ancestry for like South Asian heritage kind of sounds is what she quoted herself. I was reading this article about how she's describing her latest album, which was Speak in the Dark, which I picked two songs from. And so it's kind of like a mystic jazz that she said that is guided by the Hindu goddess Kali. She toured around and saw a bunch of South Asian countries. So this was India, Nepal, some Southeast Asian countries as well. Like Hong Kong, Thailand. But her whole album was dedicated to meditation on death, mental health, and Indian mysticism. Mysticism?
I think I got that.
And then that one song, the No Way Out, that one was based on about people in the music industry and how she felt that she's being controlled and how they were so possessive, especially the men in power, and especially how they can exert control over these like young female musicians. So I thought that was very interesting. And she also mentioned to herself that she had severe ADHD, but not that that's a bad thing, but she feels a lot more motions up and down. So that's kind of also what inspires her to write music as well. But anyways.
Yeah, that was a good spotlight on
really
her.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I did a little bit of a dive into her because I thought this was really cool music genre that kind of incorporated that I haven't really seen before. So, but definitely check out her other stuff. I will as well. So, yeah, that was that one. And then the one right before that, I don't have as much as a detailed description because...
Hey, you already went through so much detail.
I already
for that
got through one. You heard Poera Cosmica by Bad Not Good. That was all in all caps, and Tim Bernades, and that was released a single. And I know that they're Canadian, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. So. And before that, you heard Die O by Bitwasher. That was a bit of breakcore, a bit of jungle electronic music from their album Bored at a Rave V2. So that was pretty good. And then before that was Lady Tron with the song Flight from Angkor Spatial Awareness Remix from the album Times Arrow Remixed. And I think that's all that we played so far. And I think we might start talking now.
Politics.
Yeah.
So recently I think a lot of people have heard about Trump's inauguration, him coming into power, what a lot of things that he's trying to sign. But overall, we know, I read that Trump repealed 78 executive orders signed by Biden.
Yeah, his complete overhaul of whatever Biden and the presidents before him were trying to achieve.
Yeah, so unfortunately we can't get through all of them, the orders, but we'd like to go and stress on a couple that we think are important to mention.
Yeah, just to talk about if you haven't heard. Yeah, so I was reading through all the orders that Trump is doing. There is a ton that are just taking us so far backwards, but this was one that especially made me upset, is that, and just so everyone out there knows, when I first read about the executive orders, I thought they were going to be implemented ASAP and that there was nobody who was going to be looking at them other than his team of supporters, I guess, but there are ways to take it to court or battle against it, so there is hope that it's not going to go through, but it's still a lot of these things that he's showing in his executive orders and these ideas that he has are very not hopeful for the future and whatever else he might try to do. So, just so you know. So, getting on to the order, he signed an order to remove gender ideology guidance from the federal government communications, policies, and forms. So that is just making it so there's only two recognized genders, male and female, and those are considered biological at birth. It's like assigned at birth genders too. It's not just male, female, acknowledging transgender people at all. Like, no.
Yeah, they said that they would that they would start recognizing humans who are born with eggs or with sperm versus rather than their chromosomes or what they label themselves as. So more specifically,
and the fact that he calls it gender ideology, as in this is a belief system versus people's actual existences that are being questioned, is just another tactic, I think, to create some fear, create some opposition towards transgender people or genderqueer people because they're saying it's an ideology, even though that's just denying the reality of it.
Yeah,
and
even how they label it is.
Yeah, like the way that's phrased and framed is just so horrible, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way he manipulates language to create fear and hatred is just on another level.
Mm-hmm.
He's calling it radical gender ideology as well. He wants to defend women from gender ideology extremism, which I'm not even... You know what's really extreme is just what he's doing right now, narrowing it back down, getting rid of any self-identification for gender and just saying, like, the government has its nose in whatever biological... Like, sex you were
like government is always right, you are wrong.
Yeah,
that's what yeah. I'm hearing.
And it's trying to, like, it's under the guise of protecting women, which is the biggest amount of BS I've ever heard as well. And, yeah, they even, like, in this executive order, part of it is taking back all of these resources that are supporting transgender youth and queer youth in schools and in different systems, which is, interestingly enough, is what the conservative government wanted to do here during the BC elections. I know that was part of their yeah. kind of like framework to, you know, fight back against transgender people for whatever reason. Not sure what they ever did to you, but like, they're trying to take away things, at least in the US, titled, oh, White House Toolkit on Transgender Equality, Supporting Transgender Youth in School, Confronting Anti-LGBTQI Plus Harassment in Schools, a Resource for Students and Families.
Are you?
It's just like, it's just ridiculous. What is dangerous about having these resources? It's way more dangerous for these people. Like, everything that he's doing is just making it's so much harder and more difficult to be a transgender person. Just saying that they don't exist is not.
It just, yeah.
Making that they don't, like, they still exist.
It just alienizes them, their mm-hmm. entire existence. So if there's no educational resources on explaining, like, why people feel this way, then it's going to further push the problem mm-hmm. into a much bigger problem.
For sure. And also, like, he wants to remove government funding from healthcare for transgender people, like hormone therapy or gender affirming surgery, which are all things that are proven to improve transgender people's mental health, suicide rates, all these different things. And he wants to, like, take that away from them. And it's just diabolical. It is so horrible. I cannot express how terrible of a man that he is.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, the order would block a bunch of things, like DJ Star said, the schools, all the educational resources. There's also stuff like blocking requirements at government facilities and workplaces, so that transgender people can only be referred to using okay, let me rephrase this. I'm messing over my words. The order blocks the requirements at government facilities and workplaces that transgender people be referred to using pronouns aligned with their gender. Mm-hmm. They said that it infringes of freedom of speech and religion for other people who have to refer to these people as the gender, as the pronouns they'd like.
Infringes on freedom of speech.
On their freedom of speech.
I think there is just a certain thing called being respectful of another human being. Does that really infringe on your freedom of speech? Like, it's also, I don't know, it's none of their business. It's really just, like, not affecting them. I don't know why certain people have to insert themselves into transgender people's yeah. lives and, like, make themselves a part of it for whatever reason, but it's not affecting you.
Yeah, it's just these such traditional views that are lodged into people's brains, like, mm-hmm. oh, you can only be this and this, and then every yeah. other opinion is wrong.
Yeah, it's totally just going out of the status quo, or, like, leaving, like, I think we've kind of talked about this in the past too, with, you know, leaving the heteronormative structure of our world, how it can be, like, taboo, and, like, people will shame you for it, even though there's nothing inherently wrong with it. It's just, like, this weird mindset that people get into where it's like, that's wrong because it's not as normal or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But another really disturbing thing that he said within that order is that he wants to forge a society that is colorblind and merit-based. Which is...
What does he mean by merit-based?
That I think is up for interpretation, but it seems like you're going to get a job because you're good at the job, not because of anything else. Yeah. Or you're like, that kind of thing. But we all know that there's systemic factors that play into so many facets of our lives, and he's just gonna
yeah
ignore that.
I wonder why he used the word colorblind, though, for something about sex.
I think that was just
to mention that
yeah.
it's the same kind of idea, I guess.
I think it's more just referring to any kind of discrimination, like also to do with race or sex or gender identity or anything. It's just like, oh, yeah, we don't see that anymore.
That's like, so hypocritical, though, yeah, to say that and then get rid of the educational resources.
I mean, they don't need them because they don't exist.
They don't exist.
It's colorblind. And like the fact using colorblind is so funny because it's like, oh, yeah, we're just going to be blind. Like, no, you're just not. Because blind is like, there's still things that are there that you're not seeing. So it's just like, I could get it. We could talk about this for a while, but
yeah, because there's other things.
Yeah, he did so many things.
There's,
and it just,
like, he wants to block doctors providing gender affirming care under Medicare and Medicaid. There's cutting, yeah, of course, cutting funding for schools, pushing not just the, like, the educational resources for transgender people, but for pushing critical race theory, inappropriate racial, sexual, or political content on our children, which, I mean, there is some cases where it could be too extreme, but, like, we can't just get rid of some of this content.
But what are they talking about with, like, inappropriate racial, political content? Like, what does that even mean?
It'd be, like, to kill a Mockingbird book or something.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd be stuff like that, which is not... I don't think it's that impactful on our children, but that's another topic for another day.
Yeah, and just being blind to race or class or anything and just saying, oh, it's only based on merit, are like, somehow in my mind, like, those are very not the same thing. Like, people's merits, like, quote unquote merits, come from partially, like, whatever life they're born into and, like, whatever opportunities they have because of that life. So we can't just say, oh, like, it's only merits, and then...
It's impossible.
Like, it's not,
it's
only
genuinely
merits.
Genuinely impossible for everyone to be on an equal footing.
Yeah,
so
there's no equity here at all.
It's like communism. Like, it's nice to say, but we're never going to get it. So
anti-communist over here.
Yeah.
Jeez. But yeah, like, I just can't believe it. Like, it's so detached from reality. Such a privileged point of view to think that there's no color, it's only merits.
Yeah.
Like, coming from a rich white man who's in the most powerful position possibly in the world right now, it's like, ah, it's merit-based.
Yep.
Don't worry. Like, anyone could get here. I won against probably one of the most competent, like, not competent, but, like, Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris was a much better choice, in my opinion, who was more competent than him, and then he's saying it's merit-based. It's like, I don't know about that. Anyways, that was even just...
That was one order.
Yeah, that was one order.
The actual order that we were meaning to have the main topic, which I think is becoming the side topic at this point.
I mean, it is partially a side topic because it's not going to happen right away anymore.
When we were researching this, it was going to be more immediate. But yeah, it's now being pushed back for 75 days.
Yeah, it's the U.S. ban on TikTok. We were going to talk about the surveillance and, like, social media spying and everything. Mm-hmm. We have a bit of time, but I don't think we have enough to get through everything we want to get through. But if you didn't know, Trump was trying to instate this TikTok ban because part of the reason being that he thinks TikTok was pushing misinformation, disinformation, and propaganda. He's just, like, scared of the Chinese Communist Party and trying to, like, fearmonger again, I guess.
But what I found also is that I don't think this was Trump's decision. Like, I feel like he's taking all credit for this because...
Yeah, maybe it's been a...
What happened is that I was also looking up some of the facts beforehand. It's because in April, Joe Biden did sign a bipartisan bill into law to ban TikTok in the country unless ByteDance gave up control of the company, which we heard back in April. I remember hearing about it, but then nothing happened. So I was like, okay, it slipped my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But then that law, it did pass, and it gave TikTok 270 days, which was the exact day, January 19th deadline, to sell its stake in the platform or be denied access to U.S. market. So... What I'm thinking.
Okay, so it wasn't all
it
Trump.
Actually was,
it was Biden.
It was Biden who did this, and I feel like Trump is getting all the credit for and all the face of this banning of TikTok, which actually I thought as well. I was like, oh, this is Trump. But no, this was actually Biden back in April. But Trump's like, crowding. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm in a band, TikTok, China, blah, blah, blah. They're terrible taking all your data. So he's kind of got like a little megaphone here. But yeah, there's a lot about there's just a lot about what TikTok takes about our data. And I feel like, well, we did a lot of research. Are we going to get into it now or should we leave it?
We can just have like a conversation.
Yeah, we can have a mini one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think the main point that I took away from TikTok data is that there is no actual physical evidence of China trying to take the data of U.S. Citizens and use it against them in any way. Yeah. There's just a lot of ideas up in the air, and I feel like it's also kind of fueled by xenophobia, and especially how Trump's like, oh, China's bad, like they're foreigners and like all this stuff, and I feel like it's just fueling this.
They're trying to say it's like not in line with American interests or all of these different things, and like there is a certain validity to like, you know, trying to be against interference with propaganda. Like, that is a valid fear, but it's just, I'm not sure what, like, it's only directed at TikTok, which is strange to me because we all know like most social media sites at this point are also flooded with misinformation and propaganda, so it's not just TikTok, but somehow like they're just using the fact that like it's China as like the main, like that seems to be the main difference, because they're scared of like another government spying on their citizens rather than their government spying on their citizens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, is it really good for the citizens or is it just good for the government?
Yeah. And the amount of times that Trump has mentioned China and always trying to start something with them, I feel like is also fueling this whole TikTok ban.
Yeah.
But yeah, because TikTok itself, like, of course, it does take a lot of data, but researchers have found that it takes no less or no more than the normal platforms in the U.S., like Google or X, for example.
Yeah. So. That was kind of a big thing for me when I first heard about the TikTok ban, and I was like, but thinking about X and Elon Musk, like, there is obviously some ulterior motives with the way X is structured, or like the fact that Elon Musk has such a big following and influence on X itself that it's like already kind of skewed towards him a bit.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of like, this seems to be almost a bigger problem than TikTok.
Yeah, it's
opinion.
Very hypocritical.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Trump is trying to spread all these worries of, for example, like China influencing the election or changing the thoughts of the American citizens. But meanwhile, his buddy, Elon Musk, has a bunch of, runs Twitter, or, I mean, X.
Yeah, whatever.
And this.
And X, but it's been found that X has an AI-powered trending section, and it's actually promoted voter fraud conspiracy theories, which, by the way, there's no evidence of, and Trump loves to also push this narrative that there was voter fraud, that's why he's won, or that's why he's lost the elections, but now that he's won the elections, you know, that's totally valid. Which is like, okay, so nobody's really looking through and fact-checking these kinds of conspiracy theories either. And I know, okay, there's so much about Elon Musk that he's done too. He's actually suspended a lot of left-leaning accounts and journalists with no reason. And they were, like, some of them were later reinstated as accounts, but, like, he does have the power to just suspend accounts with, you know, like, nobody is really checking him. And I know he unsuspended a lot of far-right accounts as well that were, like, previously banned under Twitter.
Right.
So, you know, there is, like, you know, like, he has the power to suppress and, what's the word, like, inflate other opinions, which feels a little, you know, messed up, too.
Yeah. Like, it's not, yeah, and there's, and for example, and as well, the way he can exert power, in May 2023, Elon Musk reversed the ban on political advertising originally on Twitter, which seemed to coincide with timing of his friendship. So, you know, there's things like that where it's like, there's definitely, there's something
sick going on that mm-hmm. kind of messes up with like true media, like what is even real at this point and yeah. what should we be believing, how much is false out there. Same with just algorithms in general, like being constantly fed content that is similar to what you think. Yeah. And that's being more prevalent on X now because now it's reported that a lot of liberals and progressive people are leaving X for other apps like Threads or Blue Sky, which kind of skews the right perspective even more.
Yeah,
on
just
X.
Making it like a huge echo chamber.
Yeah, so
of misinformation and conspiracy theories yeah. too.
And it's still a very popular app that a lot of people use, and so you'll be seeing more and more of mm-hmm. this. Right behavior.
And it is like crazy that we're in a time too where the Elon Musk, I'm pretty sure, is the world's richest man. He's, you know, like affiliating with Donald Trump and also owning a large social media platform. Like from an outsider perspective, that does seem a little more dangerous potentially than TikTok, especially when there's proof of a lot of actions that he's done or things that he's said that, you know, are like worrisome in regards to like propaganda or misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
Like there seems to be a lot more evidence for this, but then yeah, so yep,
that's that. That is our little political rundown. We normally don't do these kind of topics, but we felt that we haven't touched on this in a while, and this is a pretty pressing issue.
Yeah.
Especially around this time. There's a lot of issues happening in the world right now, actually.
Yeah, how could we even choose?
It was kind of hard to choose, but yeah, I think we are all finished up though for this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have a couple more songs to end off the night because we are at the top of the hour right now. But anyways, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening.
It's been great. We'll be back next week for 6 to 7. Right after us is Sociologic with
Yay.
Rebecca and Kaylin, so stay tuned for that. And then we have Bitcoover at 8 p.m. with our music coordinator Connor, so also stick around for that. But we are going to play another song.
Mm-hmm.
This is the girl that we bought the t-shirts from. Her name is Cherry Pick, and this is going to be her song called Pretty Thing, which I believe was just released recently. So hope you enjoy and have an awesome day and awesome week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Thank you.
guys next week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.